I thought I was just reporting on this kidnapping, but as each interview went, I start to be told about people saying they're CIA. People are telling people they're FBI and they're priests. And then I'm being told about an adoption scheme. And so it went all the way up to Rothstein, Jeffrey Epstein. And then it started to make sense to me. Things started to make sense, like why when I was interviewed by the FBI, I could tell that the FBI agent knew what happened. She's not a divorce attorney, Tim. She's a baby seller. She's selling babies and little kids. And something I think needs to happen that finally shocks the American public into all these fence sitters that would rather play fantasy football and just pretend it isn't happening.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we're going to dive back into the pedophile, the very difficult subject of child trafficking and ritual abuse. I have an investigative reporter that he used to do government investigations and reporting, and he got dragged into the child sex trafficking rings, and it's become his whole life passion trying to figure out what's going on. His name is Timothy Holmseth, and he has information on a lot of high profile cases, and it ties all the way up to Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, the Attorney General of Florida and all sorts of characters. And he's going to fill us in. And what I really wanted him to do is give us a taste of how it works between the U.S. Embassy and the different countries' embassy, how they launder children like they do money, so the children have no ties, and then they sell these babies. It's just a sick practice, but you'll learn how this whole thing works. So I want to get now into that interview with Timothy Holmseth. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to have you on because you can bring some perspective on this child trafficking deal. It's a very difficult subject, but you've had some familiarity with on the ground as an investigative journalist with how it actually works. And so I wanted to give listeners some example about how it works and what your experiences were. But before we get into that, can you explain, you were an investigative government news reporter, and then you got involved in all this child trafficking stuff. What motivated you to switch gears and focus on this?
When I got contacted regarding the Haley Cummings kidnapping out of Florida, which turned out to be directly associated with the Casey Anthony case, what happened was it was like the natural process of investigating. It's like one thing kept leading to another. I never imagined that I would end up learning what I learned. Like, I thought I was just reporting on this kidnapping. But as each interview went, I start to be told about people saying they're CIA. People are telling people they're FBI and they're priests. And then I'm being told about an adoption scheme and how, you know, and I just didn't stop. I kept investigating, and it led to a completely different world now for me.
So basically one thing led to another, and you started to realize there was this big global pedophile trafficking ring of children.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. So go ahead.
Well, in fact, very shortly into it, it did not take long. I had done a whole bunch of interviews with these key figures in this kidnapping down in Florida. And within only, I think it was just a few weeks, a month at the most, I already contacted the FBI. I was not going to get snared up and tangled up in this thing where I already knew what they were doing. So I had already contacted the local police, I think, and the Attorney General of the state of Florida and the FBI right away. So like I knew something was wrong right away, but I kept going with it. They kept calling me and I kept doing the interviews and I was taping the interviews.
Now, who kept calling you?
The key figures in the Haley Cummings kidnapping case, a bounty hunter, a bail bondsman named William Stobbs. He goes by the name of Cobra. Wayne Kruger, she's the essentially the protege of attorney Gloria Allred. There's an attorney down there, and I'm not going to name her right now. That's an ongoing court case, so I'm not going to use that attorney's name, but I will in the future. And then just a whole bunch of other people that were involved, the attorney's staff. And it was through the attorney's staff that I learned that this attorney's office possessed child rape pornography of Haley Cummings. So
why you? Why are they contacting you?
That's the question I always get. Yeah. I originally sent this attorney was putting out calls for information. She said she wanted information, anybody with information. And just this one night, just for the heck of it, I was watching this Haley Cummings thing on TV, and they had said that their primary suspect was this girl named Misty Croslin. And just for the heck of it, I decided to do a neurolinguistic chart on her eye movements while she was asked these critical questions. I kind of did it just for the heck of it, just to see when she was lying, when she wasn't lying. You know, was she remembering something through audio? Was she remembering it through visual? You know, the way neurolinguistics works. And so I did this chart just kind of for the heck of it. And after I did it, I thought, you know, that attorney, she's asking for this stuff. I think I'll just email this to her. And I also emailed it to the head FDLE agent down there in Florida. I don't remember his name right offhand.
Are you trained to be able to sense whether someone's telling the truth or what they're?
No, so no, that's why. No, I'm not.
So what did you send to him?
A chart that showed I systematically went through her eye movements when she was asked certain questions, what her eyes did, because the eyes do certain things. It's like they go to the side toward the ear or up.
Oh, okay. So then you could use that to determine really what was going on.
Yeah, well, you can kind of get a feel for it. I was just doing it kind of for the heck of it because it was on the TV and I was sitting at my computer. And I sent it to this attorney and she wrote me back and she said, oh, Mr. Holmstead, thank you very much. The Sheffield family, you know, thanks you very much for this. And she called it an impressive analysis. You know, she was very nice about it. And that was it. And then maybe a month later or so, I got contacted by a man named Stobbs, Cobra Stobbs. And he started telling me all this stuff. And then it started from there. Then I was contacted by Reverend Richard Grund, who was in the Casey Anthony case.
But why were they contacting you, do you think?
I think initially it started, they were trying to get press, any press they could get, even as small as I was and as insignificant really as I was. They were trying to get press. But what ended up happening was, first of all, okay, what ended up happening was each one started calling, because this is a group. It's an organized group of traffickers. And when each one realized the other one was calling me and talking to me, each one would start to call me and try to kind of figure out what the other ones were telling, because they were on the verge of being arrested. In fact, Stobbs was arrested in Putnam County, Florida. He was charged with a felony false imprisonment of this guy. It was part of their crap they were doing. And another thing I realized later, I didn't know it at the time, but it was actually a clever move that Stobbs was using on the traffickers. By the way, one of these traffickers was a DCF child protection worker, and I have her on tape too. But what he was doing was, because I'm from Minnesota and I'm able to tape record calls under state and federal statute, what he was doing was he was calling me and then he was getting other people on the line and I would be quiet. I just wouldn't talk. And he'd call up a family member or somebody else in their team, traffickers, and he'd talk to them, but the calls being taped by me. And then I realized way later, I realized what he was doing is, I think he let him know, you know, he said, yeah, my man Timmy's got you on tape.
He was using you as blackmail or something.
Yeah. And I did not know it. And, you know, I was just being a journalist. I was just taping things. I didn't realize, I had to figure out how deeply involved he was. Anyway, the long and short of it is that's why they were calling me. Each one was trying to figure out, you know, what did Wayne tell Tim? What did Cobra, tell Tim. What, you know what I mean? That's why I suddenly became so important.
This seems like kind of like a low-level thug sex trafficking ring. Now, did you be able to start seeing ties up to higher levels?
Yeah, I did. For one thing, I also talked to the director of law enforcement in Putnam County. His name was Gary Bowling. And I told him, I said, look, this guy, John Reagan, is telling people that he's a CIA agent and an FBI agent. And so they weren't moving on any of that. And I thought that was very strange. But another thing was when that attorney decided to go after me, she started to send these soft threats via email. And in the emails, one of the things she was doing, she was emailing me and she told me that she had an attorney in Florida and I was to direct all my correspondences to him. This attorney's name was, I'll try to pronounce this right, was Pedro de Jalls. And he's a judge in Florida now. But at the time, Pedro de Jalls was an attorney for a law firm in Fort Lauderdale called Rothstein, Rosenfeld, and Adler. And that law firm was being CC'd on all of her emails, as well as the missing child's mother's, on all her work product, was being sent to Rothstein, Rosenfeld, and Adler. Rothstein, Rosenfeld, and Adler finally went down. They were disbanded or whatever because of an attorney named Scott Rothstein. Scott Rothstein is in federal prison right now. He ran the largest Ponzi scheme in the history of the state of Florida. It was like $1.4 billion. And he went down in a RICO investigation that was taking place during the same time window that they're all calling me. Now, Scott Rothstein, he was originally the collapse of his weird Ponzi scheme empire happened because he was running a scheme involving a fellow named convicted sex offender named Jeffrey Epstein. Now you probably, Jeffrey Epstein, a lot of people recognize that name. He was the one that was running the Pedophile Express to some island.
Yes.
With Bill Clinton. Yep. And now I saw those things originally, but you know, it took me a while as I'm watching these weird things happen to me. And it takes a while to put together who this Rothstein guy was and this biofuel scheme they were running. And somebody had been promised $230 million and just crazy stuff. It took a while to put it together. So it went all the way up to Rothstein, Jeffrey Epstein. And then it started to make sense to me. Things started to make sense, like why when I was interviewed by the FBI, I could tell that the FBI agent knew what happened. I could tell by things, and the FBI agent's name was Special Agent A.J. Eilerman. He was with the Minneapolis FBI, and he interviewed me at the Grand Forks, at the federal courthouse in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I could tell I could tell by things he told me, they knew who took Haley Cummings. I could tell. Yet after all these years, nothing ever happened. And so now when I look back, it's all making sense, you know, with the news of the day that we're in now, it's making sense because that was a Federal Bureau of Investigation under traitor Barack Obama and Eric Holder.
So do you think, based on your interaction, that there's some good guys in the FBI that are just beside themselves, that they can't do what they need to be doing?
I have to believe that. In fact, that seems to be what the news of the day is saying, is that there seems to be like a war in the FBI.
I can't even imagine working for the FBI, knowing that little kids are taken and having, you know, they're having sex with them and killing them and all this other stuff, and knowing who did it and not being able to do something about it. If I was in there, there would be a war.
And I think there is. And I mean, what I think happens a lot is, like, for instance, I mentioned Agent Eilerman. He seemed like a good guy to me. But I mean, I think that he said that he had been instructed by the Jacksonville, Florida FBI to interview me. And I think he did his job. I think he did. When we got done with the interview, he goes, I want to cut this short because I want to call the agent in Jacksonville before he goes home because I want to let him know you're credible. And I, And I think that Mr. Eilerman was just doing his job. But at some point, that information has to get up to, you know, like a federal prosecutor. And if the federal prosecutors are just being run by Eric Holder, then nothing's going to happen.
So do you
they're doing their job by not doing anything.
So do you think that if it's lower level people that aren't tied to this whole criminal network, then they can take them down? But as soon as there's a tie in, then they shut down the operation.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you know, every once in a while, you'll see a pedophile or somebody get arrested at the state level or the local level, and they'll go down. And, you know, then there's others who don't go down. And I don't know, you know, I've never really been able to figure out how one will go down and one won't. I think that you have some pedophiles who are just your creepy everyday pedophile that just need to mess with little kids. But you got others that are part of something much different. And I think one thing is they're child procurers. They're actually procuring the children for the elite. They're going to be safe at some level because they're going to start talking and telling, well, you know, you're not sending me to prison. I'm going to start naming names.
Plus, they need to keep their procurement traffic going. Well, let's get into what you learned about how the U.S. Embassy is involved and how that process works. Because there was an attorney, the U.S. Embassy, maybe out of Belgium, and how they traffic children, what they pay, what they make, and who gets bribed along the way.
Okay. The way it was explained to me, most of my information came from Wayne Kruger. Now, Wayne Kruger was the official victims advocate for Crystal Sheffield. That was Haley Cummings' mother. And Wayne's pretty much the protege of Gloria Allred. Gloria Allred was Wayne's daughter's attorney. And I could get off into that. But Wayne explained it to me. And she told me, and like I said, I'm not going to say the attorney's name. But she said that the attorney and her husband, she said the attorney, this was back in the 90s, so she said she was working in the home study field. So she already had access to these young mothers. And they'd be mother, like one of the things she mentioned was like illegal immigrants, young girls who are in the country but not supposed to be, easily blackmailed, scared, I could get you, you know, deported. And then they'd start, the girl would be pregnant and they'd start leaning on them and saying, you know, it's just not time for you to be a mother right now. I mean, it was really creepy hearing how it's done. And the mafia, like on the father's end, if the father of the child would try to get involved and say, well, it's my baby too, these mafia type guys would go lean on the father and say, if you don't just back off and shut up, you're going to be charged with rape, or, you know what I mean? We're going to trump something up on you. You're going to go to jail. They'd make the father back off too.
So then they would get this young woman to give her baby up for adoption, or think yep. she was. And in reality, they would be trafficking that baby out to some elite something.
Yeah, selling it. Wayne gave me the price list. I mean, do you want to hear the price list?
I want to hear the price list, yes.
Okay, I'm scrolling. I put it up here. Let's see. Okay, now Wayne gave me the price list of a baby sold by this attorney in Florida. This was from these numbers that you're going to hear are from 2001. Okay, so she said, making calls, whatever that means, making calls, $100. Tickets and rental car, $450. Agency, $10,000. Now, I'm not sure what $10,000 in 2001 would be to today, but it'd be a lot more. Baby travel kit, $500. Gift to the dossier, $3,000. Second dossier, whatever that means, $2,000. Home study, $2,000.
So those dossier, those are the people you were bribing along the way.
What Wayne told me was they were using, she called them church dossiers. She said they were using the church. They were running the babies and the children through the church with fake adoptions through the church. And then the other fake document that she said they had to obtain was fake medical documents, because Wayan said you can't get a baby through the embassy that's under the age of two without a medical reason. So they also had that, and that's where the word dossier comes from. But okay. Wayan used it. Extra cash, $2,000. Police marriage and divorce. I don't remember what this one meant. My note says police marriage and divorce, $50. Notary stamp, $175. Embassy fees, $1,200. Two copies of fees, $240. Okay, then my notes say paperwork now in order. So the paperwork's now in order. Okay, next embassy. Oh, so now they're working with two embassies. Next embassy, $1,400.
Well, wouldn't you have to work with embassy of both countries?
I would think so.
Okay.
I'll explain something about that too in a minute. Okay, so next embassy was $1,400. Translator, $400. Doctor, $200. Passport/visa, $800. Then my note says 2 weeks stay. Oh, okay. $1,000 traveling through Warsaw. Maybe I was wrong when I said, she mentioned Belgium too. My note here says Warsaw. Cab, $800. And this is really sick. Party, $500. And then my note says baby flown out of Warsaw. One of the things Wayan told me, part of the way that the trafficking of the babies is, she said they do some razzle dazzle where they send the baby to the other country. Then they do something over there and the baby is sent back to the United States, but it's like a brand new baby. Like, it's kind of like laundering money. Like the baby's been laundered now.
Oh, it's like weird. A fresh okay. Baby.
Nobody, okay. It has no history. It has no background.
Hmm.
That's how Wayan explained it to me.
Okay, then what do they do with the baby?
Well, Wayan said that at that point they sell it. I mean, the baby's sold, and I suppose it can go to whatever they want to use it for.
Well, how much do they sell it for?
Well, she said, I think that big fee was $10,000.
Well, you have to pay for the whole ball of wax of what you just did to launder it, and then there's a fee, or is that the whole ball of wax is what the baby fee is?
I think that was what I read to you was the whole ball of wax.
Okay.
That $10,000, that was in 2001, so like now it'd probably, I don't know what it would be, but it'd be a lot more to basically buy a baby.
So it sounds like it adds up to maybe $20,000 to $25,000 in 2001.
Yeah, something like that. And she could get, and she can just get the, she can get the baby from these young mothers. She had connections in DCF and everything. And another part of the process was a man named John Reagan. Now he was the guy that said he was with the CIA. He also said he was with the FBI. Which was actually confirmed. Those statements were confirmed to me by several witnesses, including Richard Grund, Jeremiah Reagan. I mean, it's not like, I mean, he was saying that. John Reagan was part of that. Wayan said John Reagan was part of that system of that I described to you of the baby sales. And that for some point in during that process, she said John Reagan would take possession of that baby for a little while. I think he was supposedly was the church. Because he was Pastor John Reagan.
Which was all BS, right?
All BS. They're just stealing babies and selling them.
Okay, so were they also taking older children as well?
Wayan made a very specific point to say, she said, this is almost a quote, she said, she's not a divorce attorney, Tim. She's a baby seller. She's selling babies and little kids. And Wayan added the word, and little kids. And she said she'll sell them to anybody. She doesn't care who they are. Just give me the money, Wayan. That's how Wayan said it. So, yes, babies and little kids. And people need to look very closely, not just at the Haley Cummings case, but a lot of these cases, including the Casey Anthony case.
So now you've been looking at high-profile cases and other cases. And are they all going to different trafficking rings of different people selling children, and it goes up to the same elite? Or what patterns are you seeing?
I've seen patterns. Really, I just see the patterns in the high profile cases, because I know that there's, the FBI is not giving us the real numbers on the babies that are disappearing. We're just not. We're just being totally lied to.
So what are the real numbers, do you think? And what are the numbers they're giving us? So what are the real numbers?
I heard somebody give the numbers the other day, and I can't remember what it was, but it was like thousands of them. It was like harvesting. It was like industrial level. And we're not being told about it. I don't want to throw a number out because then I'll be wrong. But it's way up in the thousands is what I heard.
So it's all the mothers wanting to their babies to be adopted out. How about mothers that do abortions and things? That's a whole nother deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so abortions is off the table. It's all the mothers wanting their kids to be adopted out. Is that why it's so hard to adopt a baby in this country?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that we have the legitimate adoption agencies, but I know that now, I mean, one interesting fact, I don't remember the date, but it was just maybe a month or two ago. The information, a lot of the information that I'm giving to you right now, Sarah, I sent to the FBI, and I used their online human trafficking form or child trafficking form. The day that I sent it to them, the news in North Dakota, and I think it was like the Grand Forks Herald or WDAZ, it was the mainstream news in North Dakota, suddenly broke this story about an adoption scam in North Dakota the same day.
Wow, so and you know somebody fed it to somebody?
That's what it seemed like. It seemed like the cause and effect seemed, I said something to the feds in the state of North Dakota, suddenly announced that this woman, I forgot her name right offhand, but she's selling babies. And it was like describing what I'm describing.
So do you have any resources or connections in the FBI or CIA that are working with you, that are trying to get information from you as you go along?
Nobody that I'm at liberty to mention.
So is that a yes? You just won't disclose their names?
Yes.
Okay. So there are people that are using your information on an ongoing basis based on what you find. Now, there's these high profile cases that you're working on. Are you constantly finding new information?
Kind of. I mean, in kind of an offshoot of what's happening to me, I've really been forced to concentrate very, very hard on what's going on, because this operation came after me very early on. They came after me, and I'm in court over that. They did get me put in jail. They are repeatedly trying to have my website shut down through any means they can. You know, they telephone me using President Donald Trump's telephone number. Clinton Global, I get calls from Clinton Global. A bunch of Florida politicians.
And I've seen that on other shows. I've seen the video showing. So I believe you that those numbers are coming up as Trump or like high profile people's phone numbers.
Yeah.
So they're tapping into these phone lines, or they're doing something goofy.
They're just using a spoofer.
Yeah.
But they have come after me for real. I mean, like, they got under my car the other day. They slashed the tire, but I think the reason he initially got under the car, I think he might have been planning to cut the brake line. They, I don't know much about cutting brake lines, but whoever got under the car, like, laid on their back and then popped like five holes in my tire. Not too long ago, somebody got in my car, which was locked, and they pulled the light fixture down, but they broke the snaps. Now, I know what they were going to do. They were going to put drugs in my car, put the light back in, and I would have been done. I would have been done, because they would have got me with some dirty state trooper, and he would have had a canine dog sniff the car. You know, it looks so real. And then how would I say those aren't my drugs? So they have really come after me. They threatened to kidnap my granddaughter. And so because of all this, I've been pushed into the court system. And so I've actually had to study these things. You know what I mean? It's almost an act of survival at this point.
So you're trying to get as much information on them as possible to make sure that
they can't get me.
They can't get you.
Yep.
So do you foresee them going down with the information that you have? I mean, are the authorities working with you enough to take them down? I mean, has the politics shifted in our direction? Or go ahead.
I feel like it has. I mean, the news of the day, although the mainstream news certainly isn't covering it, the independent media is covering these things, people such as yourself. And things like the sealed indictments in the federal system, I think that's very interesting, particularly looking at the number of sealed indictments in the state of Indiana.
What are you finding there?
The numbers are very high of sealed indictments in the state of Indiana. And the part of this trafficking operation that came after me is called Specialized Investigative Consultants Incorporated. It's located in Mishawaka, Indiana. And it's run by this woman named Tina Church. And she is into this up to her eyeballs.
How do you know that? Tell me how you know that. I'm loving what you're saying to me, but how do you know that?
Because she started calling me. She's been calling me for years, threatening me. She's telling me that she had attorneys all over that could do things to me. And then she told me that she could have my child taken away from me. That's how it started. It started with the family stuff. We'll come after your babies. But I kept reporting on it. Then she started calling me up.
So you were reporting on these stories, and these thugs were calling you to get you to back off.
Correct.
And they were slashing your tires and doing all these things. Okay. But you know who they were. So why would they disclose themselves while they were calling you? Because they're stupid? These are low-level thugs?
It was going on long enough that actually one of the things that I've noticed, and this is like, this was an interesting thing to me just to watch, is there something about Timothy Homestead that is driving them so crazy? They're so narcissistic. Like when Tina Church would call me, she would keep saying things to me like, I don't know who you think you are living in subsidized. She'd always bring up subsidized housing. She'd say, I live in subsidized housing. Now, I do live in subsidized housing. They've gotten me fired from every job. I can't sell my book on my own website. I can sell it, but I can't promote it. Like, they have gotten court orders in other states. Like, they've got me down to where I can't even pay my rent. I don't have my rent this month.
It's really hard. When you're caught up in the lawsuits, they really do put you through a ringer.
Right. But I won't stop reporting what I know. And every time she'd call me, I'd publish her saying these things to me. And it's like they get more and more angry.
Is that helping your case? I mean, I would think that at some point somebody would be like, okay, we got to do something for this guy because this is ridiculous.
I actually think it has helped my case because she got so crazy that she called me up and she said, because I filed something with the court where I'm in the Minnesota court, I'm exposing this ring in the Minnesota court. And yes, I do have a reason to file it in Minnesota. I won't get into all those details right now, but she called me up and she said, and this is on YouTube, so you can listen to it. She said, what's the name of the judge? And I said, Judge Tamara Yan in Polk County, Minnesota. And she said, all right, I'm going to call the judge directly. And I knew, right? I thought, you can't even call a judge directly, you know? She called me up that night. She called me back again that night. She goes, Tim, I talked to your judge. Like, this is sick. And I said, oh, really? Who'd you talk to? Tamara, the name you gave me, Tamara Yan. She's actually calling me now and telling me that she called and talked to the judge. And mind you, she's bragging and boasting to me during calls that she has a son who's higher than the FBI. And I figured out where he's in the U.S. Air Force. He's in the intelligence division of the U.S. Air Force. Her son is.
So now have you proven that she's a trafficker of children as well?
She's on all the telephone calls. They would call me up on these telephone calls and when they would threaten me. And I have multiple people's voices on tape. She's on a tape. the attorney I told you about is on the tape. And then some other ones, Levi Page, some other ones. They're all on the same call. But there's calls where they got captured whispering before they knew I answered. So their voices are captured. They're all coordinating. Oh, yeah. Tina Church, Specialized Investigative Consultants. In fact, she told me they made a call to the East Grand Forks Police Department in Minnesota and told them that she made this call, her and Levi Page, and said that I had just claimed to have the missing child Haley Cummings in my apartment. That resulted in police being sent over to my home while my children were here to look for a missing kidnapped child. They've been missing for 2 years. Okay.
So this is why they don't want to kidnap high-profile babies, because this is what it turns into.
Yeah, well, I don't think they necessarily want it to become high-profile, but some of them just do. But now this Tina Church, after she did that, a couple years later, she was so angry about an article I wrote that connected her to Haley Cummings and Wayan Kruger that she called me again. And this time she told, and now I've got a formal police report from the police department that says she's the one that called them. She flat out tells me on the call, she says she didn't make that call. She said that she was impersonated by a woman from Florida. No, I'm not going to say the name. She says she was impersonated by a woman from Florida on that call. So I contact the police department here and I say, hey, it's Chief Michael Headland, Lieutenant Rodney Hychek. These guys are totally involved in it. I say, hey, you guys, Tina Church just said she didn't make that call. And then Tina Church also told me that the police department called her. And I said, wait a minute, that's not in the police report. There's no police report of the police here ever calling you. And she said they called her. You know what they did? They were coordinating by cell phones. And what they did was they set me up to the point where they were able to raid my home office and take my computer. And they did. And they took it and they destroyed the hard drive. And they tried to destroy all this information that I have, like that I'm giving you right now. ISO Shraga, the commander of the Minnesota Pine to Prairie Gang and Drug Task Force, into this up to his eyeballs. Well, in getting this.
Yeah, this is incredible. So how many police do you think in local enforcement in different all over the country are actually involved versus not? And are they getting paid off, or is it just expected as part of the job?
I think they're part of secret societies. You know, they're part of groups, and like they know they have their own little language, and when they talk to each other, they'll help each other interstate. These guys up here were contacted by the people in Florida, and these guys went straight into action for them. Rod Hychek, Michael Headland, ISO Shar, they went straight into helping. I finally got proof of it when I finally got an email that they tried to hide. Rodney Hychek tried to hide an email where he was communicating about me and the fact that I was helping the FBI. And he was communicating with a CNN journalist named Art Harris, who was Nancy Grace's he was the one that was covering the Haley Cummings case for Nancy Grace. I have an email that's on Lieutenant Hychek's private email. And Art Harris is telling Hychek he's bitching because Timothy Holmeseth is helping the FBI in Florida and the FBI is acting on my information. This is in the email. And he's saying, and he actually says the words to Hychek. He says he's got to be stopped. So that was in July of 2009. So as of that very moment, the police department in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, knew that I was helping the FBI try to find this little girl, and they were getting close to this little girl. And the police department here in Minnesota and the Polk County attorney went into action to come after me. So the local government was actually working adverse to the feds. And it's in writing. I've got it. I mean, it's in court now.
Wow. Okay. So while these bad guys are allowed to sell babies and sell children and do all these bad things, I mean, how long or how many children do you think that they've been allowed to hurt, brutalize, rape, kill while nobody's arrested them?
You know, information that I directly have, I don't know. I know from my own research, from studying this intense, because I've had this gang after me for almost a decade. And from my research, it's been going on for a long time. I mean, I think you go back to the Franklin cover-up. It's always been the same thing.
So you think, but, there's a big global trafficking, but this ring of people that you have specific knowledge of, specific facts and data, who are still out there doing their nefarious activities, they feasibly could be killing and hurting and abusing hundreds of children while we have data that could take them down.
Yeah, they've been doing it. They've been doing it for sure since the 90s. Tina Church told a witness in the Haley Cummings investigation while she was infiltrating this girl and her family, because that's what they do. They do this weird infiltration thing. She told Chelsea Croslin that she was involved in the JonBenet Ramsey case.
And you got all this on phone calls and all sorts of things, don't you? I mean, you have all this documented.
Yeah, nothing I tell you comes out of my head. If I can't prove it with audio or something, I don't say it.
Excellent.
That's why I've never been sued.
You have proof. You have audio proof of these people saying these things. Do you feel that it's almost a slam dunk case to be able to at least nail some of these guys for this?
It's always, to my mind, it's always been a slam dunk case. But the thing is I also know like why it's not happening.
Okay, why is it not happening? Because, that's what I'm trying to get at. Because every day these people are allowed to walk the streets is every day that another little child is potentially being raped, abused, or murdered.
You got it.
So why do you think it's not happening?
Plain and simple, blackmail and extortion. I'll give you an example. Cobra Stobbs, William Stobbs in Florida. He was highly involved in the Haley Cummings quasi fake kidnapping. Stobbs also told me, by the way, that I have him on tape saying that he found Kaylee Anthony's body. So Stobbs told me, he called me up one day and he asked me some questions about that attorney I was telling you about. And then he said, yeah, I got a meeting today with Attorney General Pam Bondi. That's a Florida attorney general. She was on Donald Trump's transition team. Now, by the way, I'm up with Trump. I'm not slamming Trump, but Pam Bondi, somebody needs to take a look at her. They need to look at all the high-ranking officials in the state of Florida, and I don't care what party they're in.
Well, I heard Florida. I've done shows on Florida. The foster care system, the child welfare system, Florida is a mess. Not that a lot of other states aren't a mess, but Florida is a big time mess.
It's a nightmare. In fact, I have Stobbs again. He called a Florida DCF child protection worker named Bonnie Warner. She was actually the caseworker for Haley Cummings. And he called her on the phone while I was on another line and he was doing his little thing. And he talked to her. And he got her to admit during this call that she possessed the CD that had the naked photos of Haley Cummings on it. And she's on tape admitting that she was given that tape by a fellow named Don Knopp. He was a legal assistant for that attorney. And Don told me that, he gave that disc to Bonnie Warner, get this, in the parking lot of a gas station after hours. I mean, how shady is that it's got child porn on it of a missing child.
Absolutely incredible that we're even talking about it and these people are walking free.
I sent those audios. I sent those audios to Pam Bondi
and I've got the nothing?
Certified mail. I've got the receipt. Pam Bondi knows about Haley Cummings. She knows they're threatening to kidnap my grandchild and all this stuff if I don't take down my websites. Oh yeah, she knows.
So now all these indictments, these secret indictments, which are just mounting. We've never had this before in history.
Right.
Do you think it's real, or do you think it's a way to shut us all up and to get us all excited? Because if it's not real, will there be a disappointed crowd out there?
But there's going to be a pissed off, disappointed crowd. If they pull that stunt, the independent media is going to grow. You know, people doing what you're doing, there's going to be even more because people are going to be angry if they pulled a stunt like that to put fake indictments up.
Well, they better follow through on this. And if they do, they're heroes. And we should tell them that. And we should be very happy that our country is getting cleaned up. And they might only go part way and just enough to make us feel good and not get to those upper levels. And that's not okay either. But I got to tell you, if they don't do something, it's because, like I said, every day, they do not take these people down that we have a slam dunk case on. Another child is murdered or raped or killed. And it's.
And they do more than that. They sell their organs. They sell their bone marrow. They use them for satanic ritual abuse. They use them for, rituals to the God that they worship, which is Lucifer. So some of these babies are being sold at that highest level of the elite. They're using them literally for their religion. And so I believe if when this thing finally blows, when this does go, people who have been fence sitters for all these years, people that just don't want to hear this stuff, there's going to be mothers and fathers out there that are finally going to start making decisions. They're going to stop playing fantasy football, and they're going to start thinking about their children. When you start hearing about what they do to these babies and these little kids, if this starts to come out in a real way, people need to know what Hillary Clinton's been doing. You know, these people are cannibals. They're eating these kids. So something I think needs to happen that finally shocks the American public into all these fence sitters that would rather play fantasy football and just pretend it isn't happening. I think the fence sitters are going to start making decisions about life, and in my opinion, possibly decisions about who Jesus Christ really is,
or what's wrong and what's right in this world, and realizing that right and wrong. I mean, we want to live in a just world with right. positive energy. I mean, whatever you think about Jesus Christ, his teachings were just amazing about love and goodness. But whatever you believe, I mean, we have to purge the darkness. If you can't protect your own children, if we can't protect the children, there's nothing good about us.
Right.
Period.
And yeah. And the reason I mentioned Jesus is because, like I get asked the question a lot of times, people say, gosh, Tim, why are you doing this? They're trying to put you in jail. They're trying to do, they've threatened to rape me, kill me, torture me. And they ask me why I won't do it. And ultimately, my personal testimony is without Jesus Christ, I couldn't have done this. And, that's my story. We all have our own personal story. We all have our own personal belief system. And that's what makes America work so well. But for me, without the Lord God, I would not be sitting here right now. I would have given up a long time ago.
Well, at the end of the day, when we're talking about stuff this serious, you're going to be judged. I mean, it's between you and your God, whatever that is. And
you got it. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. Don't think you can live this life out sitting on the fence while they're torturing a baby to death and you're playing fantasy football. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You're going to be judged, whoever your God is.
Well, how can the average person help you in your endeavor to keep collecting this information? And also, if there's people out there that actually can help you get in contact with other authorities that can use this information, who are looking for good information. I mean, I suppose your website has a lot of it on there. Do you have other information that the authorities can get at other than what's on your website?
I have got a ton of basically untapped information that I did in interviews. I mean, I can't put it all on YouTube. I just don't have the time.
Well, that's fair. So how can, first of all, how can the ordinary person help you? We got to answer that. And then how can authorities and different people reach you? Because there's probably going to be a listener out there that has some connections, and we can maybe make a difference here.
The first thing I would say to anybody is a lawyer. If you can get me a lawyer, I've been doing all my own legal work for almost a decade. They kept me down. I don't have any money. I can't pay my rent. I don't have my rent this month. A lawyer, if there's a lawyer out there, contact me. I've got recordings to play you that have never been heard. I can show you human trafficking. I mean, I have it. I got these people. So a lawyer, that's the first thing. And then how can people help me? Honestly, I have refrained for all these years. I put a PayPal thing up, but there's just something.
Well, how much do you need just to pay rent and to eat?
My rent is $690 something a month, and I can't. Well, I mean, I'll just say it now. I deliver pizzas. I typically I wouldn't say that, but it's all over the web. They keep saying, "Oh yeah, pizza delivery driver is going to solve the biggest case in the," you know.
Well, they're
Well.
doing that to hold you down. I mean, during the Depression, there were people who owned multi-million dollar businesses that were street sweepers because they had to make money for their family. You can't judge people based on what they do.
Well, no, and I mean, I'm not. I'll do what the Lord gave me a job. And by the way, I'm not going to say the company's name, but by the way, that this group assembled and attacked that company that I worked for, and that company didn't back off, stood their ground. I'm not going to say their name, but buy some pizza from them. They did not back off. This company did not back off to these cretins.
Oh, so they keep they're allowing you to stay. They're at least giving you a job, which is that's being a
Yep,
great citizen.
and
Because
even though
on
they were,
the, go ahead.
even though they were called and had to do a second background check on me because they were told I was a pedophile. I mean, and they didn't back off. They did a second thing. They called the courthouse and they said, our corporate office called them. They said, you ain't been in any trouble with the law.
Okay,
I said, yeah.
so does your website have a place that people can at least do a one-time donation to at least help you get through and eat and do some of these things that you need to do?
Yeah, I do. And I hate asking for it, but honestly, money now is the one thing that when I wake up in the middle of the night, that's one of the things I just lay there. My kids don't get birthday presents. Sucks, but I can't see my granddaughter. It's her birthday. She's having a party and I can't go.
Why can't you go?
I don't have the money. I mean, I can't pay my rent. I certainly can't travel to Tennessee.
Okay.
So,
I
but
understand.
yeah, so I hate asking for money, but people tip me when I deliver. People tip me when I deliver pizzas. If you want to tip me for doing this, go on my website, look at my work, listen to the YouTubes, and if you think I did something that was worth giving me something for, then give me a tip on
Well, that's
PayPal.
fair. That's fair. That's really great. And then also, if there's any authorities out there, if there's anybody that could use his information, I surely hope that they'll contact you and just keep doing the good work that you're doing because we need to take these people down.
Oh, I'm going to. There's a court hearing on December 13th at 9 a.m. at the Justice Center in Polk County, Minnesota. And I've already submitted audio to the court. So it's in the court. Even if they kill me now, the court already has a slew of audio that shows that attorney stole a baby from a girl, a kidnapping witness in the Haley Cummings case. William Stobbs claims that he found Kaylee Anthony's body.
And this is all on video or on audio.
It's all on audio, and a select group of that audio I submitted to the court to prove it. And so, as far as I'm concerned, for the things they've been saying about me over the years and all that, game over. They could put a bullet in my head right now. Those audios are a matter of the court record, and the public can get them. And you can hear those things said to me.
Well, that's absolutely excellent. Okay, we'll have your website. What is your website so people
It's
know?
rightintoaction.com, and it's like right spelled as if you're writing with a pen. So WRITEINTOACTION, writeintoaction.com.
Okay, and I'll have that up here on the show page, on the video, on, and then the people listening to an audio get it from what you just said right now. And thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much for all the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the work you're doing. I've watched some of the interviews you've done, particularly one of them was with Robert David Steele. Absolutely excellent. And I hope you keep doing what you're doing, too. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah.